In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 37th year on the air, America's longest-running radio food show. Good morning, Chef John Ash.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. Before we meet our special guest for the morning, we're going to have a little fun. You sent me an article that really made me laugh. It's something that, you know, don't get us wrong, we love great, great homegrown food. But sometimes you just want to open a can because you're hungry and you want something that's nourishing and filling, right? And one of those is canned chili. And I always have a few cans in the cupboard. If I'm running somewhere and I want to have some, again, something filling in with protein.
And you could, you have to have it in case you want a quick Frito. You know, pour the chili on the bag of Fritos.
You have to. So this one article that you sent me is called Canned Chili Ranked Worst to Best. And he said, let's share this with our listeners. I think it's pretty funny. And the author wrote, perhaps canned chili has more redeeming qualities than I gave it credit for. And the author is Hwang Samuelson. So I'm not going to go through the eight chilies that he ranked. Because the nine, no, it's eight chilies that he ranked. But let's go, first of all, for the worst chili that he tried out of the eight. And it is one I've never heard of. It's new. It's called Gardein, G-A-R-D-E-I-N, plant-based chili, no beans. And he said, Gardein plant-based chili, no beans, is just not good, period. In the customer review section for the product on the website, someone complained about the level of sodium. 1,690 milligrams per can, 73% of the daily recommended value, said that's a lot. He said this chili tasted really salty. But for the sake of evaluation, I ate some, then promptly scooped a dollop into my dog's food bowl. Within minutes, my dog happily ate the entire serving, then came over to me, wagged her tail, and looked at me with begging eyes, demanding more. I rest my case. Okay, number two. Now, this is interesting, John, because just minutes ago, you, me, and Dave Fazio all learned that we like the number two brand of chili. Stag, classic chili with beans. Now, that's part of the Hormel food brands, but Hormel came in last in this tasting. So Stag is, he wrote, incredibly fragrant, rich, and chunky. At any rate, it tasted very home style and comforting. Out of 130 customer reviews on the Stag website, 116 gave them a product 4 or 5 stars. He said it is a little bit salty, according to his daughter, but he said he would definitely buy this one. Great with chips and guacamole. Now, the number one chili, which really shocked me, and it probably shocked you too.
Yeah, it did.
Campbell's chunky chili with beans. And he said he was just as shocked as anybody when he learned, when he tried this. And he said, I was stunned by how good this chili was. I decided to forgive the brand for killing my favorite soup all those years ago. When I tasted Stag chili, I thought I'd found euphoria, but then I tried Campbell's. There's not enough adjectives to describe how good the chili is, especially for a canned product. It's chunky, hearty, fragrant, and filling. Nice chocolatey brown color, good large firm beans, hint of sweetness, perfectly balanced chili. So that is number one. One of the comments said, I'm surprised to see Campbell's regular chili is your number one option, as it's not even the best tasting Campbell's variety. The spicy firehouse chili actually has a smidge of heat, as canned chilies go, and is definitely much more flavorful than the base option. So there you go. You might want to run your own chili, canned chili tasting.
Well, you know, and you need to have a few cans on hand just in case, you know, the power goes off or something like that. You don't even have to heat it up. Just open it up and eat it.
You're right. And now, of course, what I'm thinking is, I really want to make chili this weekend.
Yeah, good.
Was it a while since you've made chili?
It is. I make chili like, you know, I'm a big soup eater. And I make a lot of soups. And so a lot of my soups are chili like. They'll have beans and spice and things like that in it.
And tomato?
Tomato-based. But they're not thick, like, I mean, you tend to think of chili as being pretty hearty and thick. And mine are more soupy, but I guess they still qualify as chili.
I've really got a burn on for chili now, having read this article. Thanks for sharing it with me and our audience. We'll come back and we're going to meet the owner of a new restaurant that's really intrigued us. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd invite him in, and I believe possibly part of his kitchen crew, to come in and share what they're doing in Sebastopol. I think you're going to be as intrigued as we are. Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen, back after this.
This is KSRO. We're Sonoma County's news talk, and we plan to stay that way. KSRO, the 85-year tradition that won't gamble with the news.
This is Larry Flick, owner of the Floor Store. You probably know there are a number of places in Santa Rosa where you can buy flooring, but only one has the largest in-stock selection in Northern California. Only one has a diamond-certified customer satisfaction score of 97%, and only one has been named Mohawk Retailer of the Year for 17 of the last 20 years. Yes, there are quite a few places where you can buy flooring, but there's only one where you should. Go to floorstores.com to find us on Santa Rosa Avenue, one block south of Smart and Final. The Floor Store, your Bay Area flooring authority.
Tune in every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. for Dr. Walter Tom of the Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on KSRO's Ask the Expert show. Dr. Walter Tom can help create the body you've always wanted with laser body sculpting, skin regeneration, laser and vein therapy, and other specialized treatments. Look younger by Monday with Dr. Walter Tom on KSRO's Ask the Expert show every Thursday on 1350 AM and 103.5 FM KSRO.
Enjoy the harvest at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market has lots of fall and winter veggies, nuts, and meats from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteaks, sun golds, and more. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus, tamales, and salsa. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Press Democrat's Best of Award. Open Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
You're already a self-starter. You're already self-driven and have personal goals, already helping people, and you want to earn more. And that's why we want to talk to you. I'm Kevin Wadlinger with Amaturo Sonoma Media Group. Some media companies want to teach their people to use data to sell something instead of teaching them how to make their media work for them. Oh, there's a monster of a difference between data and results. We work with businesses of all sizes, businesses that expect more from their marketing dollars. We grow businesses with digital solutions, radio and video strategies and events. How do we make them work better? We create customized strategies for every business partner. We're hiring one more marketing sales specialist who is looking for a career. Let us know if you'd like to talk. It won't be an interrogation. If you're curious, give me a call, Kevin Wadlinger, 707-230-3952. 707-230-3952. Amaturo Sonoma Media is an equal opportunity employer.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And our guest who just seated himself, he had some strong opinions about chili too, which he wanted to share with us. He wanted to give us a piece of his mind.
So what's your favorite chili?
So this is Jeff Berlin, who is co-owner of a new restaurant called Piala, which is a wonderful restaurant and bottle shop in Sebastopol that just opened up. And you had an opinion about canned chili.
Yeah, Denison's all the way. Denison's man, but you don't stop with the chili. You cut open the bag of Fritos.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what John said.
Yeah, oh, it was discussed. Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad I'm in good company.
Well, that's why you have to have some on hand at all times.
All the time.
So Denison's. Yeah. We have to add that to our list also. Yeah. So Jeff, you've opened this restaurant that's quite remarkable because it features the cuisine of an area of Russia. It used to be part of Russia. Georgia.
Yeah.
And I took the liberty of forwarding your menu to a good friend of ours, Dara Goldstein,
yes,
who wrote this magnificent book, The Georgian Feast, one of the great books on the exploring the cuisine of Georgia.
I've read it twice.
And you've read, then you know. And she wrote back and said, "Hi, Steve, the menu looks great." I'm quoting, "I like that they're serving plavani for their stuffed bread instead of the default Instagram darling, ajarruli kashapuri." Yeah. She said, "There's a nice representation of dishes from Georgia's various regions, and they look authentic. And the name of the wine bar has a nice ring and is easy for Americans to grasp." So Georgia cuisine, she knows it well, and she would love, she said, "I would love to be able to go."
So next
with
time
you and John. She lives on the East Coast.
Yeah. So, but when she's she at her out. Next, we'll come. We'll bring her.
So
yeah,
why,
I can't wait to have her.
Why sure. Georgian cuisine?
Well, it really just takes one trip there to become a lifelong devotee and follower and lover of everything Georgia. The food is certainly leads the way. The wine is amazing and as unique as you can possibly find in the world of wine. The people, they become like friends and family pretty much immediately, and they welcome you back every time. The landscape, the history, I mean, it's endless. There's no place like it. I've traveled pretty extensively throughout the world, and my heart just keeps going back to Georgia. So.
Isn't it interesting? Americans know nothing, I think it's safe to say, about Georgia. So does that make for a kind of a dicey business proposition? You're going to have to educate people both about the food?
No, not. I had a restaurant in Oakland for 20 years that allowed me to really get my practice in with serving wine and food that was not so familiar. I mean, not as much as this, of course, but, you know, I've been selling these traditional Georgian wines for over 15 years, and it's been a challenge from day one. It's a lot easier now. They've become quite popular in the wine community, but it's still, for the average consumer, as foreign and unusual as they get is, in concept and then in style too, the way the traditionally made Georgian wines that are aged, fermented and aged underground in big clay vessels with a long maceration on the skins, the textures and the aromas are quite different. So it's all about educating and hand selling. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I always wanted to open, the reason why I wanted to do a Georgian restaurant specifically was to have the proper context and place to show these wines the way they were intended to be shown. I think that when you try to compare them to more conventional modern styles of wine, it's not, it really, they're like completely separate entities, and really even just the tannic structure from long skin contact requires the right kind of food setting to show how they can be really magical with different textures and flavors and smells. And
so there are white wines also from Georgia.
Yeah, there's the whole spectrum of wine. Yeah, sparkling, white, red, rosé. Yeah.
Would you orient us about where within the Soviet Union Georgia resides?
Sure. It's just south of Russia, north of Turkey and Armenia, Azerbaijan to the east, and the Black Sea to the west.
But it got its independence from the Soviet Union in 1991 is what I read.
Yeah. But, you know, they've been at the crossroads of every empire that's moved from, you know, Asia to Europe since the
Kurds,
beginning of time.
The Turks, the Arabic,
Persians.
Yeah. So a lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah.
What initially drew you to Georgia? Was it the wines?
It was the wine was first. I think it here in the United States, oftentimes it is the wine. My really good friend, Chris Terrell, who was the first person to import the traditionally made Georgian wine into the United States, showed up at my restaurant about 14 or 15 years ago and poured me my first bottle. And I remember the hair on the back of my neck standing up, and something inside me woke up. I was like, this is most intriguing, and had to know more. And it just was like a whole journey that came after that.
So are the wines that you're serving, can they be purchased other places, or can they be purchased from you?
Yeah,
by the bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've become quite popular. There are a number of wine shops in the Bay Area that sell Georgian wine, certainly in other big cities, mm-hmm. L.A., New York. But they're spreading around there.
So Sonoma County is not a hotbed of food from the diaspora of the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. What made you want to do it here?
I think, you know, being in wine country, whether it's mm-hmm. Sonoma, Napa, wherever, is the obvious choice because you're so much closer to farms and people that have a personal connection with where their food is coming from. I think people, whether they're conscious of it or not, are going to have an understanding and appreciation for the kind of food that we're putting out, even though it has weird names that you can't pronounce.
So we're going to talk more about the food, but can you find are the ingredients that different? Can you find everything locally that you need?
Yeah, well, almost. I mean, I am importing certain spices. Mm-hmm. From Georgia, like blue fenugreek and dried marigold flower are things that you just don't find very readily here. We're also bringing in some sunflower oil and some of the spices that you are familiar with, like thyme and savory. I'm also bringing in because they come from really special places in the mountains of Georgia that have a lot sweeter aroma to them. That make a significant difference in the food. But otherwise, it's all quite familiar. It's just simple combinations of these ingredients that are just kind of different from what we do, but it's all pretty familiar. It's easy to find all the things we need aside mm-hmm. from those couple that I mentioned. I'd say the biggest difference really is cheese because just as it is with any cheese that you love in France or Italy, that's not the same when it comes to the United States pasteurized. It's absolutely the same with Georgian cheese, and even maybe more so because there it's extra salty and really strong and sharp, or it can be. I mean, that's generalization. But with the cheese that we use for like the cheese bread, the cacciapuri that Dara was mentioning in particular, you can't replicate that here with the best that Americans have come up with to get as close to that as possible is a mix of feta and mozzarella.
Yeah. Has that salty
for the
balance.
Stringiness and the saltiness, yeah. But it just still doesn't touch that.
So is it not possible to import or prohibitively expensive to import Georgian cheeses?
I just haven't seen anyone doing it yet. The kind that you would want. Certainly, and then when you pasteurize it, it takes away some of the real flavor of it. But now, the feta mozzarella works just fine. Yeah,
you should talk to Janet Fletcher. Oh. She would be all over. Do you know who she is?
I don't.
Well, Janet she wrote a wonderful column in the Chronicle for years on cheese, mm-hmm. and still continues with a great website called Planet Cheese, which you should get on and make friends with her, because she knows everybody in the business.
In the world.
Yeah.
All right.
And if there's something that you're hot on, she will be hot on
it.
Yeah.
So we'll give you her contact
info.
All right.
Yeah.
So I noticed is that the Svanetti cornbread with cheese that you were referring
that's
to?
That's one of them, yeah. We're using that blend of feta and mozzarella in those masa cakes.
But they actually serve cornbread.
There's the conversation always drifts to the similarities to Mexican cuisine when in Georgia because of the presence of corn and legitimately spicy chili peppers and beans. It's a land of wonderful beans, which is one of those things that really hooked me initially. Cilantro and everything, and of course beautiful pork in various forms. So yeah, I mean, you could really easily open a Mexican restaurant over there with their local ingredients.
So I have a question to ask you. Partly I learned about it because of the awful thing that's going on in Ukraine, but apparently that was the hotbed for sunflower oil. Mm-hmm. And is the sunflower oil that you get there, is it different than what we get?
Yeah, very different. Yeah, it's it has a really like raw flavor to it that is what you oftentimes there, and what we'll serve at the restaurant too is just a little bowl of of sunflower oil to dip your bread in, just so you can taste
how
pure and flavorful it is by comparison to what we get.
Yeah. It's as sophisticated as good olive oil.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I can't speak to the, you know, the same kind of complexities that maybe it has or doesn't have when you compare it.
Well, you just tend to think of the sunflower oil that we get in this country as been processed and refined.
Definitely.
No flavor at all.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. The raw sunflower oil is so good.
So when you decided to expand on this concept and open this type of restaurant and wine bar, bottle shop, how did you decide? You've pared down the menu to only about a dozen items or so. What was the most important thing? That they paired well with wines, that all of these appetizer styles?
Well, the wine pairing with this food is, it just happens on its own. I think one of the fun things about when you go to eat at someone's home or a restaurant in Georgia, instead of having, because you're going to have multiple plates, like sometimes 20 or 30 different plates of food on the table, that instead of trying to create wine pairings with one wine for each course or for certain foods, because people would have one amphora, one quevery of wine in their home, it would have to function with all the different flavors and textures. So that's one of those characteristics of the wine, the tannic wine, that allows it to work with everything. So you could come to my restaurant and have a single bottle and have it work beautifully and differently with all the flavors and plates, for sure.
I noticed that walnuts appear several times on the menu. That's an important key ingredient in Georgian cuisine, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Yeah. Don't see too much olive oil. You see sunflower oil and walnuts at the base of a lot of food.
A walnut paste, toasted walnuts, all different kinds of innovations.
Yeah, yep. As their candy, there's a sweet kind of thing that you can find called churchkala, that are walnuts dipped in grape juice caramel. It's really lovely.
Wow. Well, John is a walnut fanatic.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Not, maybe not fanatic, but a big fan of walnuts.
I like them a great deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know this appealed to you. A couple of these dishes, the spiced walnut paste.
Well, yeah, the trio of kali that I brought is the walnut paste.
Oh, good.
Done with one mixed with leeks, another with beets, and the other wrapped in fried eggplant. And they're just, they're so flavorful, and we call them like vegetable candy because you just pop in them and eat them.
Well, I'm ready to try some. Are you?
Yes, I am. Well, it's a beautiful plate. We'll take a picture of it also and post it.
We'll post it on the website.
Yeah, sure.
Jeff Berlin, the, are we saying co-owner? Is that a proper title for you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
With Pialo Restaurant, and do you call it wine bar or bottle shop?
Well, restaurant, and then it can be either of the other things as well. But it's really, the food is the showcase.
And you opened this past week in Sebastopol?
Yes.
And where are you located?
We're at 7233 Healdsburg Avenue in Sebastopol.
And hours?
Tuesday through Saturday from noon to 10:30 at night. Stay all the way through serving food.
Yeah. Well, it's a long day.
Long day.
And I got something I saw on your website. You have a happy hour?
Yes, happy hour from 3 to 5, and then again from 9 to 10:30 in the evening.
Well, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Happy, you have a monkey.
Do you know what? I have an original of that, of that poster.
You do?
It's a huge poster, actually.
Oh, you've seen that? Yeah.
Yeah, I have it.
Nice.
I have one that was originally printed. It doesn't have stuff about Piala on it, but it's just the original.
Is that on your wall at your house?
Yeah, it's in my bedroom. But so yeah, I've never had you in there.
No, but I've got to see it. That's a fabulous.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. It's fantastic.
Okay,
because it was printed back in, I think we figured out it was the one I have was printed in 1908.
And that you chose this?
Yeah. I thought it was...
Okay, I'll sell you mine.
So it's a monkey drinking a bottle of something.
Of wine, yeah.
Of wine.
Yeah.
Or
that,
the... Yeah.
Well, the original one is a spirit, anisette.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
And what does piala mean?
P-I-A-L-A. So, yeah, piala is... I brought a couple for you to drink from. They are a traditional wine drinking vessel.
Oh.
And I know there was a comment from Dara about the... legitimacy of that term, but I thought that I would bring one for you to see. And
I thought those are for the chili.
Yeah. I mean, they do drink wine from so many things, so many different really cool vessels of different types of materials in Georgia. But this goes back to 5000 BC, and they've got it documented in the National Museum, and it's definitely a very...
So if we wanted to buy some of those, do you have those to sell?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're very cool, I have to say.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Jeff Berlin, co-owner of Piala in Sebastopol, sitting in with Chef John Ash and me today. This is the KSRO Good Food Hour.
KSRO news updates are brought to you by Platinum Chevrolet in Santa Rosa. Find new roads at Platinum Chevrolet, committed to live and local news updates here in Sonoma County.
Petaluma has two farmers markets open through November 19th. The year-round Eastside Market at Lucchese Park, Tuesdays 10 to 1:30, and the Walnut Park Market, Saturdays from 2 to 5. Harvest is in full swing. Grab fall fruits like persimmons, grapes, and pears. Winter squash, too. Rojas Farm has pomegranates, Asian pears, persimmons, giant grapes, and citrus from Fresno. Vicente's Patch has gorgeous tomatoes, squash, onions, garlic, basil, and peppers grown right here in Sonoma County. Rodriguez Brothers Ranch has certified organic berries and vegetables along with conventional avocados and berries. Betha Springs Ranch offers locally raised meats and certified organic eggs. Strauss Family Creamery has organic milk, yogurt, butter, and more. There's tons of baked goods locally produced from Full Circle Bakery. Grab fresh coffee as you shop or buy beans to take home. Get lunch or dinner from the restaurant quality food vendors like What a Chicken, Hole Mole, or Chad's Soup Shack. CalFresh customers double your purchasing power. Visit the information booth to find out how. Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Improperly maintained or neglected pools and spas can produce hundreds of thousands of mosquitoes, resulting in neighborhood-wide mosquito problems that can increase the risk of mosquito-borne diseases like West Nile virus. If you have an unmaintained pool or spa, or know of one in your community, contact the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District at 707-285-2200 or online at msmosquito.org for help. That's 707-285-2200 or msmosquito.org.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
I'm KSRO's Dale Tresillos with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Mostly sunny for your Saturday, high of 69, 57 along the coast. Wind speeds 15 to 20 miles an hour inland, up to 35 though along the coast. Mostly clear skies for tonight, low 44 degrees. High 60s again for tomorrow, around 59 on the shores for Sunday, sunny skies. Monday then low 70s, similar for Tuesday. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9. KSRO.
the KSRO kitchen today, along with Chef John Ash, my usual co-host. I'm Steve Garner. Is Jeff Berlin. Jeff is the co-owner of a new restaurant that just opened in Sebastopol this week called Piala, P-I-A-L-A, restaurant and wine bar bottle shop, featuring the cuisine of Georgia, the beautiful country that was formerly part of the Soviet Union, is now independent for the last some 30 years almost, and has brought in a sampling of some of the food for us to taste and get an idea of what we'll experience when we go to the restaurant. So tell us what is in front of us.
Yeah, so you have the kali, which is the walnut paste done three different ways, one with beets, another with leeks, and the third is wrapped in fried eggplant. So the walnuts are pounded with a little bit of garlic and spices and fresh herbs, and then mixed with the different vegetables and greens. And they're just a really delightful way to start the dinner, light and refreshing. And
healthy.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
I'd say that was one of the things I was really shocked by in Georgia, is how healthy and vegetable-oriented the cuisine is.
It's not a meat. I mean, they have meat, but vegetables are really the hallmark of the cuisine.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. You know, a table that would have a big spread of plates would be, you know, some chicken or pork or lamb, but a ton of different vegetable dishes, and they really love their mushrooms. And very unique versions of things that you would know, but that just come from really special places, mm-hmm. really old.
So describe this mushroom dish for us.
It's called soko, and it's we're doing it with shiitake and oyster mushrooms, sautéed with a little garlic and green onion and some chili flake. But it's really the fresh herbs, especially the tarragon, mm-hmm. that really comes out, and mm-hmm. it makes people realize how little we use tarragon in our food here, because it's the thing that makes it so unique in this dish, is how it works with mushrooms and it brightens up the dish.
It's really, and I have to say that this could be not that we're looking for that, a meat substitute, main course substitute. Yeah. This could be the main course.
Yeah, it is for sure. It's I think it's become the favorite dish so far at the restaurant.
Now, this reminds me, initially, of a Chinese scallion pancake.
Oh, right, yeah.
So describe this.
The plovani, mm-hmm. is like a lightly fried bread that's stuffed with that mixture of cheese I mentioned, and then a mix of greens, mm-hmm. like dandelion greens and arugula, kale, chard, mm-hmm. and lots of herbs.
Mm. You use a sauce for this?
Yeah, so I brought with me the condiments that we have available that you would find on everyone's tables in their homes. One is called ajika. It's a fermented chili sauce. Mm. And the other is called kemali. It's a sour green plum sauce.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And the hot.
And it goes on everything.
This has good spice, but it's not blow the head of your head off.
Yeah. For sure.
And this is wild, this beautiful stew or soup, mm-hmm. that you brought in.
Yeah, so it's a dish that you find tons of different versions of. It's called shashushuli, and it's a really hearty meat stew. It can be with beef or lamb. I decided to do it with lamb's head and neck meat, so it was just a really slow roast of lamb heads and necks, and pick the meat and mix it with a stew, and it's and then make a stock with the lamb heads as well, that adds the richness to the dish. That is just, you can't beat it. It's such a rich and flavorful.
It really is good. Lamb neck is one of those things, you never see it in the market.
Yeah,
it's one of the best.
It is
stew meats that there is.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Who buys them all? You.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. If they don't have them when you go, it's because I've taken them all.
And describe the wine that we're tasting with this.
I brought the two wines. I feel have every wine that I've ever tasted there has very compelling stories and backgrounds, mm-hmm. to them. But I brought two that I thought had maybe the most interesting. This one is a blend of a bunch of white grapes from Meshkuri in the southwest of Georgia, in the hills near the border of Turkey. made by a man named Gheorghe Natanadze, who goes up into the hills and forages the grapes that grow wild, oftentimes wrapped up in trees. And so he's gone and found and categorized old grapes that were, you know, believed to be lost, and is making a white and a red with these wild foraged grapes.
So it's, I'm looking at the label, and it says, with bird's egg and bird, is that in this wine?
No. Oh. just kind of like names of the grapes.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Loosely translated.
I thought, whoa.
I wouldn't even attempt to try to say the names of the grapes that are in there. I mean, one, there's a version of one grape that's easier to pronounce called Mtsfani. That you find in different parts of Georgia, the different kind of cousins of the grape.
Well, this is an ancient wine growing area. They've been growing these grapes for thousands of years.
It's where it all began, actually.
Yeah, over 8,000 years of winemaking.
So can we get this by the glass at the wine bar?
No, not this one.
Not this one?
Because it's so rare and I can only get so much of it. So I have it there for sale by the bottle, but... you know, if I poured it by the glass, it would be gone really fast.
And what's the other wine you brought?
The other is from my good friends, John Werdemann and Gela. Their winery is called Pheasant's Tears, and they're out in the east of Georgia. And this is a wine they make called Polyphonia, which I think translates roughly to harmonic chaos. And... what John and Gela have done is, in their attempt to reclaim lost grapes as well, have planted kind of a nursery vineyard, and then they do a lot of single varietal bottlings. They're always experimenting with all of these different grapes, but then they'll also make a big co-harvest, co-ferment this wine called Polyphonia. So it's over 100 different varietals.
So do you know, because UC Davis has... you know, it's sort of the great repository of wine grape varieties. Do these grapes exist there here in California or not?
Some of them. Some of the really high yielding grapes that were popular in the Soviet era that produced the bulk of the wine for the Soviet Union you'll find those in different parts of the world, and I believe they have a few of those.
But these two varieties are probably not.
Probably not any of the varietals in the white blend.
Yeah.
But in the red, which is a blend of red and white grapes, you would probably find, you know, the big ones like Saporavi, Katsuteli, some of the more popular.
Well, this is the first time I've ever sipped wine from a drinking bowl.
Isn't it cool?
I love it.
It actually adds a whole different... dimension to the wine.
Definitely.
Both because it's a bowl, you really get the aromas.
That's not a good point.
Confined by a narrow glass opening or something. And there's something about, because these are earthenware, aren't they?
Yeah, it's it's special because it's clay, you know, the same, in a lot of senses, the same clay from the earth where the vines are growing. It's the same clay that's used to make the big cuvée that the wine is fermented and aged in underground. And then to have it come back to the same clay in the bowl in which you're drinking is pretty special.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, I predict this is going to be a destination spot that you've created, because there's just nothing else like it. Are there other Georgian restaurants in San Francisco or the Bay Area?
There are one or two down in Palo Alto.
Uh-huh.
I've not yet visited, unfortunately. But beyond that, I don't believe there are any in the Bay Area. I mentioned playing around with Georgian food at my old restaurant in Oakland.
And what was the original restaurant?
It was called Akote, and it was in Rockridge.
Uh-huh.
And opened that back in 2000. As I was discovering Georgia, we started, you know, incorporating more flavors of the East into our menu there, and with the wine, it was clear that something more had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really welcome addition to the dining scene here in Sonoma County.
Awesome.
It's how do I'm struggling to say it. They're unusual flavors, but they're very friendly flavors. Yeah. I mean, it's not some odd, wild, you know, eating sea cucumber or something like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's food. They're flavors that are familiar to us, but put together in a really interesting way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think, I mean, just based on everyone's reaction and what I have faith in, it's going to be successful because the flavors are pure. They're it's very healthy food and it's full of energy. And it fills your soul and your body and everything all at once. So
happy hour Tuesday through Saturday, 3 to 5 at 9 to 10:30. It looks like 50% off all wines by the glass.
Yes,
you buy 6 bottles and receive 5% off and some other inducements too. And then the regular hours, are you open for lunch?
Yeah, all day from noon to 10:30 at night.
And Tuesday is it the same menu?
Yeah, same menu.
All day.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll be growing the menu. We will do some of those more kind of classic iconic dishes that like the one Dara mentioned. We will do dumplings, which are another favorite. But you know, we wanted to just kind of start in a more kind of controlled fashion, and then we'll grow things out as we go and keep adding new dishes, and certainly seasonally it will be a big part of it, like what we're accessing from local farms based on seasonality will affect the menu. The mushrooms will change as we get cooler mushrooms.
And I know you need to get back to the restaurant. Before you go, tell us about possible travel opportunities to Georgia.
Oh, right. So my really good friends, John and Ia in Georgia, have a great travel company called Living Roots. And they've been showing people around their country for many years, including Anthony Bourdain when he was there to do his episode on Georgia. And they're the most wonderful people, and they know so much. They're really national treasures, and they are they live to share their country and their culture with people. So we'll have their connections, their information available to anyone that is looking to make that trip to Georgia and get shown around in style. So
I went and ordered these pancakes.
I know, aren't they great?
Thank you for coming in today. It was wonderful.
My pleasure. Yeah, really nice to meet you both.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. Go Padres.
Oh, listen to this. He had to get that in. And is this a special day for you or anything?
Oh, you mean it's my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
How did she know that?
It's your birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. We didn't know before, but we would have had some favorite dessert of yours.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to celebrate today?
Working, yeah. Oh,
you know that, John. Yeah,
especially with a new restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's you know, working in my brand new passion project, so I couldn't be happier.
Well, congratulations, and if we don't see you, we'll be in definitely to try all the food. But we want to reserve this date or close to it to celebrate your birthday next year.
Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, nice to meet you guys.
You too,
Thanks for having me in.
Thanks. We'll be back after this, and I know you've been waiting for this, the great cucumber debut, the unveiling.
What?
The cucumber unveiling.
It actually is pretty interesting.
The folks that missed the show a few weeks ago, I'll fill you in when we come back about Steve's cucumber in the refrigerator test and see how long it's going to last. I'll find out with you in just a couple minutes at the KSRO Good Food Hour.
You're listening to KSRO, Sonoma County's FM News Talk, the radio home of Steve Jackson. Catch the drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 p.m. This is KSRO.
Did you know small details make a big difference in the quality of replacement window installation? Hi, I'm John Gorman with Save Energy Company. We use OSI foam and sealant to ensure watertight, energy-efficient seals. They're guaranteed for 30 years, and we're the only company certified to use them here in the North Bay. Other companies may use inferior latex sealants that wash out over a few years. Want your window install done right? Let Save Energy Company handle the details. We feature Simonton Windows.
I'm ready to fly!
When it's time to travel, you don't need to deal with the hassles of Oakland or SFO airports. Visit flysts.com and choose from Alaska, American, United, and Avelo Airlines at Sonoma County Airport. Each offers direct flights to major cities. Enjoy a delicious meal at the Sky Lounge Steakhouse or Cousteau on the Go French Bakery. For your next trip, flysts.com.
I'm ready to fly.
Waterdrop Digital presents Advertising in the Digital Age. Lesson 4. Communities across the U.S. promote buying locally. Sure, why not keep your money in your community? There are digital agencies everywhere. Florida, New York, Texas, L.A. If your business uses an out-of-market digital agency, why send your money there? Waterdrop Digital is based in Sonoma County and understands your specific challenges. Waterdrop Digital, your local digital solution. Visit waterdropdigital.com.
You're already a self-starter, you're already self-driven and have personal goals, already helping people, and you want to earn more. And that's why we want to talk to you. I'm Kevin Wadlinger with Amaturo Sonoma Media Group. Some media companies want to teach their people to use data to sell something instead of teaching them how to make their media work for them. Oh, there's a monster of a difference between data and results. We work with businesses of all sizes, businesses that expect more from their marketing dollars. We grow businesses with digital solutions, radio and video strategies and events. How do we make them work better? We create customized strategies for every business partner. We're hiring one more marketing sales specialist who is looking for a career. Let us know if you'd like to talk. It won't be an interrogation. If you're curious, give me a call, Kevin Wadlinger, 707-230-3952. 707-230-3952. Amaturo Sonoma Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Healdsburg Lumber Company serves contractors and homeowners in Northern California. General contractor Jerry Ettinger of Ettinger Enterprises appreciates their reliability.
We know that when we order a truckload of lumber, it's going to be the right stuff. They're very good on their timing, on their deliveries. It saves us a lot of time and money not having to run back and forth, and those things are all very important to us.
Healdsburg Lumber Company, building with you since 1875. Healdsburglumber.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So here's the backstory on this next segment. A couple of weeks ago, John and I saw an article called I Stored Cucumbers 9 Different Ways and the Winning Method Kept Them Fresh for More Than 2 Weeks. Oh, yeah, right. So I called the author of this article, Ann Taylor Pittman, and we chatted for a few minutes. And I talked to her about her methodology, and it was very thorough. And she published this article on August 20th. On thekitchen.com, T-H-E-K-I-T-C-H-N. And I said, I'm gonna do this experiment in a couple months. So on October 5th, I put this cucumber in a plastic bag. And not just a plastic bag, because she tried 9 different methods. And the winning method included having a metal spoon in the zipped lock bag along with the cucumber. Now, isn't that odd?
And it doesn't matter what the metal is.
No, it doesn't. After 11 days, she noticed some condensation on the walls of the bag. It was afraid to reach in and touch the cucumbers. To my surprise, they were still firm, not at all slimy, with skin smooth as a baby's you-know-what. On day 14, the cucumbers started to have some soft spots on the ends, especially the conventional cuke, but still seemed usable. And the next day, they were squishy and coated in an opaque white slimy film. My takeaway, I have no idea why this method worked so well at keeping cucumbers fresh for so long and could find no explanation online or with food scientists I talked with. I'll admit I was quite skeptical, but each day as I found the cucumbers to still be firm, fresh, and lovely, I became a believer. This method proved to be the winner. She found this method on Facebook a couple years ago. She said the claim was that storing in a zip top bag with a metal spoon keeps them fresh for at least 2 weeks. So here we are, John. I'm at day number 17. Let me reach over. You've just sliced into this cucumber.
Yes, there. And so this is a
thank you.
An English cucumber that you did.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't it?
Listen to this.
It's amazing.
Can you hear that crunch?
Yeah. And there's no slime, you know. Cucumbers, any of the cucumbers that that I ever buy and put in a plastic bag, in within 3 days, they're slimy. They've begun to disintegrate.
Are you impressed?
I'm totally impressed.
Blown away?
Yeah, blown away.
Okay, 17 days when you usually get maybe 7, 8, if you're lucky, on a cucumber. So it's as simple as that. Put the cucumber in a Ziploc bag, not with a plastic spoon or a wooden spoon, because you tried these variables. They didn't work. It has to be a regular metal spoon. And if you want, certainly as you see condensation forming, take the cucumber out, pat it dry with a paper towel, and then put it back in the bag. You might even get more days than 17. Now, you notice the ends, John, are slightly starting to get a little soft.
And a little, they're changing color, but it's just the very end, but it's still firm.
Well, I did call Ann Taylor Pittman and invited her to be with us for the unveiling, and she said, I have the flu. She came down with the flu on Thursday night and said, I'm curled up in a fetal position. She texted me and said, there's no way I'm going to feel better by Saturday. I'm so sorry to miss it, but I'll go online and listen to the segment. No. So thank you, Ann Pittman, for doing the hard lifting.
We can't wait to hear what you come up with next.
Well, now, John, I'm ready to start. I'm going to put other vegetables in with metal spoons.
Well,
what other who knows?
What about zucchini?
Maybe zucchini will be next.
I didn't look. Did you look in Harold McGee?
He didn't have anything about this.
Okay.
No. And she probably even contacted Harold.
Yeah.
But I'm sure somebody in the food world is going to explore why this works so well. That's it for today. Back after this.
KSRO, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball and Las Vegas Raiders football. Sonoma County's FM News Talk and sports. KSRO.
Thank you, John Ash, for joining me in a successful cucumber tasting today.
It was great. And it was also the discovery of Georgian food.
Piala Fantastic. And Sebastopol. Yeah. It's a must do. Back after Clark Wolf, next Saturday, 11 o'clock in the Good Food Hour kitchen. Hope you'll join us.